Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
I prayed for today. I'm not a silly man. I'm not silly enough to think that I can move you at all. I'm not silly enough to think that anything I can say can conjure something in you to make you move. We've seen a lot of conferences. We've seen a lot of worship sets. We've seen a lot of shenanigans, if you will. We've heard a lot of sermons. And I know that there's nothing I can say that can move you today. But I know the one who can move you. Yes. And I'm in communion with the one who can move you. I spoke to him about moving you today. As we come into the room, we come in with everything that we've been through, all of our trauma, all of our guilt, all of our hurt, all of our pride. What man can move a man with pride? What man can speak to a man's pride? Welcome to Passion Week, friends. I have a Holy Ghost hangover, so pardon me. It should do something to you when you come out of worship. It should do something to you. There should be an acclimation process. It shouldn't be like the bell ringing and you going to the next class. I think America has trained us for the bell to ring and to go to the next class. But that's not how it should be. These are holy moments. And they should be treated as such. I love that it's called Passion Week. It took a passionate love to die for you the way Jesus died for you. See, we see it the way it's depicted to us, but we don't really understand. The Bible says that he was unrecognizable. The Bible says that when he went up there, there was the carnage. You know, they made specific weapons to make it as bad as it could be to get crucified. You know, we know that he got whipped, but did you know that they put little things, they look like barbed wire, on the whips? So when they whipped him and they drew back, it would draw flesh. Did you know that? Do you know the love that the Lord has for you today? If you knew the love that the Lord had for you today, you would be more passionate. You would move more. But to be honest, I would never attribute something to malice that is ignorance. I walked around as an ignorant man for 20-something years. I never even walked into a church. Because I didn't know. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that they die because of lack of knowledge. The devil doesn't. All he has to do is make it so you don't know. Yeah. So you don't understand this love that was hung for you. So you can't fathom it. So you actually don't pay attention to how brutal it was and what he did that day. Welcome to Passion Week. The week that saved all humanity. Humanity that wants to accept this gift of redemption. I'm gonna hop into the festivities here. Today I wanna talk about donkeys, rocks, and tables. I know it sounds a little scattered, but that's how the Lord puts things in my mind sometimes, and I believe that the Lord loves someone who does play with the things. You know, I love it when I look at my kids and they put a puzzle on the floor and they scatter it all around, and I love watching them do it. They just get all the pieces, and Bethel, she's like, okay, maybe this goes here. Okay, maybe it doesn't. Okay, and they go, and you know what I love the most? Is when Judah comes along and he's like, okay, let me help you. Let me help you. I love to see my children at play. I love to see my children figuring it out. And I believe that that's how the Lord is looking at this room today. Before we begin, I just want to say how honored I am to be standing before you today. I honor Pastor Rich and Pastor Mindy and the way they love me, the way they love my family, the way they've brought me in, the way he comes up here and sings with us. That's not normal. I just want to tell you. This place is not normal. But that's why I want to be here. I want to honor my beautiful wife and everyone praying with me this morning. Passion Week is such a lovely time to remember all that the Lord has truly done for us. It's impossible to even scratch the surface in one sermon, but I'll do my best. I pray that the love that I speak about today not only moves you, but it convicts you to love and be more passionate this morning. This message is pulled from the portion of scripture that records the beginning of Passion Week, Palm Sunday. Scholars call it the triumphal entry. It's beautiful. It's in all four of the gospels, but I lean more towards Luke. I've always leaned more towards Luke. You have the Gospel of Mark, which is pretty much the Gospel of Peter. Then you have the Gospel of Matthew, which I'm not going to get into it too much, but he was speaking more to the Jews. So when you listen to the Gospel of Matthew or you read the Gospel of Matthew, what you're going to see is he's trying to prove it. He's like, okay, so this is where it was in the Old Testament. So this is why Jesus is who he is. This is why. And then you get to John, which is its own thing. The Bible, it's 90% different than all the other gospels. But then you get to Luke, where I usually land because I'm a Gentile. I'm not a Jew. You're all Gentiles here. And you have stories like the prodigal son, because he wrote that to a Gentile king trying to convince them. So Luke is what convinced me. So there's something special there. You know, that was just some nuggets that I threw in. Hallelujah. Everybody say donkeys. Donkeys. Everybody say hee-haw. Hee-haw. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that. Let's open to Luke 19, 30 through 38. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Think about that. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it and did what they were told. As they were untying the colt, the owners say, why are you untying the colt? Why are you stealing my donkey, yo? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place, the road that goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles and all the things that they have seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You guys ever heard that song that goes like, this is the day, this is the day. Don't start singing it. That song, if y'all say hee-haw, y'all do whatever. So that song came from this day. When I went on a mission trips tour in Africa, every church we went, they sung it. And it was the most beautiful thing because they're remembering this day. And I actually didn't know that until someone there told me. So how beautiful that this is the day that the Lord has made. And every day after this week, after the risen King rose, we can sing, this is the day that the Lord has made. Every day, the Bible says mercies are new each day. I'm gonna touch on that later too. But every day, you can say this is the day that the Lord has made. Something new is happening, hallelujah. When you think of a donkey, the last thing you think of is a king riding on it or a warrior riding on it. When I think of a donkey, the first thing I think of is the donkey from Shrek, Eddie Murphy. If someone says donkey to me, I think Eddie Murphy. Donkeys in our culture are not seen as capable animals, not like a horse or a beautiful stallion. And in their culture, while donkeys were important, they weren't seen as a capable animal, like a horse or a stallion. You know, we see this in Zechariah 9:9, that Jesus had to come in riding on a donkey. And the Bible even says lowly, lowly. There was a humility that had to take place, and he had to be an example to the people that he's humble. See, our God is not gonna come back that way again. It says he's gonna break the sky, his garments are gonna be dripping in blood, he's gonna have a sword in his mouth, and he's gonna be on a white stallion. But they had to see this. The Jews had to see this. They sang Hosanna. Let me tell you what this moment in history did for me. I saw Pastor Rich up here earlier, worshiping like I've never seen him worship before, and calling the people like I've never seen him call before. But I've only known him for like a couple months, so like he might have been doing that all the months before I came. Let me tell you, I've been in a lot of rooms where people are on their knees and they're worshiping and they're singing the songs. And I imagine that's how it was when they were walking in to Jerusalem. You know, Jesus was on this donkey and the donkey is just looking. The Bible says that the donkey was never used. The Bible says that this donkey was just in chains. I want you to catch that. Now, this donkey is holding the king, the savior of the entire earth, and he is walking into this place and seeing all these people worship. My friends, the devil don't like this message right now. We have to beware of this moment. There's been times that I have been that donkey. There has been times that you are that donkey. In your home, in your workplace, in the marketplace. I'm gonna say it for you, in Kroger. That was just for him. But we have to remember who we're holding. And we have to remember what it's for. There's been a lot of rooms, and I'm gonna speak for myself. There's been a lot of times that I would be playing, I would be singing on the microphone, everyone's jumping, and I forget who I'm holding. I'm like, wow, look at them clap. Look at them go. Look at the music. Look at the lights. Look at it all. And I, oh yeah. Wait. Sometimes I catch it. And I get to repent, which are beautiful times. But sometimes, and there's been times in my life where he has to catch it. And he has to bring me low. Let me tell you right now, you don't want those times. Some of you have had those times, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. God hits you with a, you must have forgot. You must have forgot who brought you from those chains. You must have forgot that you weren't being used. You must have forgot why you're doing this in this room right now. You must have forgot that you were on drugs. You must have forgot that you didn't have a dad. You must have forgot that you were abused. You must have forgot. And now you come in with your chest puffed up. We're called to come in lowly. Church is a barracks where we come to worship the one who made the stars that hung on nothing, where we come to worship the one who tells the seas where to stop and go no more, the one who fastened the foundations of the earth. To what are they fastened to, it says in Job 38. You better recognize today. You don't have to like me, but you better recognize. We're here to be sharpened. Iron sharpens iron. And the Lord grants us fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? He grants us fruit. Some of us has more than others. He's working on y'all. It's okay. He's working on me.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all a work in progress. Has anyone ever seen someone walk up to a tree and the tree eats the fruit? Like you go to read and the tree's like, no, because that's not the way it's designed. Your fruit is not for you. What the Lord gives you is not for you. Your gift is not for you. Your voice is not for you. It's for us. And a room flows different when people start moving from this area. And I don't want you to think, I know what the devil does. I hate him. He'll be like, man, I'm getting beat up. Like, I'm getting beat up. And instead of keeping on listening, you'll just, I just told you mercies are new each morning. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you were doing yesterday. It doesn't matter if you were in chains yesterday. It doesn't matter what you said yesterday, what you were watching yesterday. Today is the day of redemption. We're called to cry out. That's why I loved seeing what I saw at the altars today. We're called to cry out. Everybody say rocks.
Rocks.
Woo, say it again, rocks.
Rocks.
Luke 19, 39, 40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied. Imagine Jesus saying, "I tell you." You'd probably like fall over. "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out." I could only preach from my experience. So there was years ago, it was about 2017 or 2018. I was playing in bands. I was playing at churches. I was doing all this stuff, but my heart wasn't where it should have been. And the Lord is so good. He sent a storm. I remember this storm. It was crazy. When we lived like by Buffalo, Rochester area. So when we see snow, we're like, eh. When you guys see snow, you're like, close the church. Close the church now. Close the doors. Make sure everybody knows. But let me tell you something, what this storm did. I believe this storm was different and it was sent just for me. I appreciate every storm God has ever sent me. It's always made me better. I sat down and I sat at my keyboard and I started just like plinking some stuff out. And the Lord got my attention. And he put a song on my heart and I've played this song around the country and I can't even take credit for it though. Because I didn't write it. He placed it on my heart. He said something like this. I'm gonna tell you a little bit. He said, "I don't want your Sunday if I can't have your Monday, Sam. I want your whole heart, but we'll see maybe one day, Sam. You were made in my image, so you know I have emotions too, yeah. And I see everything, and I know these are emotions to you." He said, "I don't admire your pretending. I know you think it's all a game. I know you say you want my fire, but you're just fanning your own flame." And then he got personal and he said, "Tell me what I'm supposed to do when I'm in love with you, but you don't love me back the same. I call upon the rocks to do what you're supposed to do, and that's to love and praise my name. Tell me what I'm supposed to do when I'm in love with you, but you don't give me any time. I call upon the stars to shine when I made you to shine, but you're too busy chasing lies, Sam. At this point, I was broken. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be this way anymore. I'm so sorry. And a beautiful thing happened. This happens to me a lot when I pray. I didn't have anything to say. And I know for some people that's normal, but ask the worship team, I don't shut up. It's not normal for me not to have anything to say. So I just listened. And he said, Sam, it wasn't like Morgan Freeman. Like, just so you know, I'm not like that guy. It wasn't like Morgan Freeman, like him talking to me, but I heard it in my spirit. He said, Sam, I just want you to love me. I love you so much, son. And I want to use you and I want to do so many things through you, but I just need you to love me. I just want you to spend time with me. And I don't remember the rest of that day too well. I believe the Lord is trying to get us our attention today. I believe he wants us to do more than sing a song. Anyone can sing a song. I believe he wants us more than just come to a place. Everybody goes to places. The Bible says he can make the rocks cry out. He can make the trees clap their hands. But that's not what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants your song. Eric, he wants your song. Are you going to give it to him? I'm going to leave that right there. Luke 19, 41 through 44. He approached Jerusalem and he saw the city. He wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known this day what would bring you peace. Oh my, I'm gonna read that again. He said, if you, only you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you where your enemies will build an embankment around you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That is, if that doesn't move you, I believe the way Jesus was looking over Jerusalem and he wept, I believe he's looking over Kentucky and weeping. I believe he's looking over Louisville and weeping. I believe he's looking over America in its entirety and weeping because we're just too busy. We're too busy to stop and look at him. We're too busy to think about what he thinks about. We're too busy for all of that, right? One of the things that Jesus did, if not the first thing he did after the triumphal entry, was cleanse the temple. We see him do it in John chapter 2. So this wasn't the first time that he had to get gritty. This wasn't the first time that he had to fix things. See, Jesus had authority and he walked in it. People might not like your authority, okay? Let me just tell you that right now. People might not like your authority, especially if you're a female. Seriously, I've seen it. But you never dumb down your authority for what people like. You never have to turn your volume down for what people like when Jesus told you to turn it up. I could go into a whole nother sermon, so I'm not gonna do that, okay? Luke 19, 45 through 46. Then Jesus entered the temple courts. He began to drive out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. You know what you're looking at right now? You're not looking at a man. You're looking at a table he flipped. I'm a table he flipped. He had to come to me and flip me over. My wife, I see her as perfect. She's such an amazing mom. She's a superhero. She's an amazing wife. Everything I could ever dream of. She was a table he flipped too. You look at her, she looks perfect. You know, this is the anniversary that she of the worst day of her life. How many years, Amy? She forgot. That's how good God is. Huh? 9. She was partying. I know you guys don't think she would ever party. She was drinking, having a good time. And a man slipped something into her drink. And she started to feel drowsy, and she looked at her friend, and she saw her friend was going through the same thing. So she got her friend out of there because this town was known for this. She got in her car, and she wrapped her little Kia around a tree. She fell asleep at the wheel, but the friend, she got her home. She got her friend home. Lord knows what would have happened to that girl that night. She was medevaced in a helicopter to Erie. She has a scar from here to here. It's the most beautiful part of her. Where the seatbelt bursted something in her. And look at her. She was a table he flipped. I don't mind my scars. I don't mind looking at the things I've been through because I know who he is. When you look at your scars and you begin to, oh, I don't want to look at that. No, I don't want to remember that. That just tells me you don't know who he is enough. Because when I look at my scars, you know what I say? I get on a stage and I say, hey, who wants to see my scars? Because I know you have the same ones. And if my scars can get put behind me, if Amy's scar can get put behind her, if Pastor Rich's scars can get put behind him, Pastor Mindy, she can put her scars and she can say, you know what? I don't care what's going on in my family. I'm gonna praise. I'm gonna preach. I don't care what's going on. I'm gonna run this church. I'm gonna do my job because I don't care about my scars. I know the one who took the scars for all of us. I want to do a little exercise. You guys ready? It's going to suck. Okay? I just want to, like, tell you, it's going to suck. All right? But I know you can handle it. I want everybody in here to picture themselves as a table. And on that table is all of your thoughts, all of your dreams, all of your aspirations, all of the ways you think about money, all of the ways you think about people, all of the ways you talk about people, all of the ways you speak to your children, all of the ways you speak to your wife, all of the ways you think about your boss. Let me stop there for y'all. Stop doing the exercise. Now, look at that table. With everything that is you, all of your addictions, all of your vices, everything that you're holding on to for some odd reason because you don't want to let it go because it's not time yet, all of it is on that table. Now, if Jesus were to walk into that room and see only that table, will he stand and admire it or will he flip it? Flip it. would he look at it and say, wow, you love that person. I saw the way you spoke to that person. That's a hard person. Good job. Or would he say, you don't know what that person has been through, and you spoke to them that way, you looked at them that way. I know their past. I know every trauma they have. I know every problem they have, and you didn't love them. Flip. You know, these things are deep-rooted inside of us. I'm gonna close this. I don't need this anymore. These things are deep-rooted inside of us, okay? I had a lot of issues. I'm not gonna get too into it. I had to pull from the innermost, deepest parts in me and pull it out. And I had to let Jesus do it, and it hurt. And I said, Lord, just do it. I would not look. I would say, just do it. Just do it. I was with the wrong people. One day, I prayed a prayer. I said, God, get rid of all my enemies. And I lost all my friends. I'm going to close with this. You guys say, how? It's easy for you, Pastor Sam, up there on the staff. It's so easy for you, but you don't know what I'm going through. Really? There was a lady named Mary. She watched her brother die. I like to picture her holding the corpse of her brother in her hands and mourning over her brother. A male figure in a household back then was everything. This wasn't just bro that works at Lowe's and he's gone now. A male figure was everything. And she was holding Lazarus. And Jesus came, rose him up. And sometime after that, she got to see Jesus. Let me tell you what she did. This is how you get to where you gotta get. She took what was most valuable to her. She had something so valuable. The Bible says that it was worth a year's wages. And you know what she did? She took it. I won't pour it out. Just don't be worried. And Jesus was there. And she took it. And it was in a box. And she broke the box. This was dramatic. This was cinematic. She broke the box. It was a passionate act. And she poured the oil that was so valuable on Jesus's feet. But she didn't end there. She got lower. She took her hair and she began to dry Jesus's feet with her hair. Because she was so thankful. Because something was dead, but now it's alive. Paul was on the road to, I said I was going to end with that. I'm going to end with this. You're not a real pastor till you do that. By the way. Paul was on the road to Damascus after doing terrible things. You know, the first person who was killed in the name of Christianity was killed because it was being antagonized by Paul. You know that, right? That day, Paul was there. People were throwing their coats. The way they were throwing their coats on the colt, that was a thing. They were there throwing their coats at Paul, and they were stoning Stephen. Whew, I feel something good. They were stoning Stephen, okay? Stephen, getting hit with stones, he died. Bible says he went to sleep. And that day, Jesus was looking at two men. He was looking at Paul, and he was looking at Stephen. On that day, who do you think was going to be blessed by Jesus. Who? Say it. Who? He got it. Y'all scared. You're like, I'm not going to get it. I don't want to get it wrong. You know? Both. I'm gonna really end with this. Today we're going to pour our oil out. What's most important to us. And I don't care where you go. The altar's in your chest. But let me tell you something about altars. Altars are a place where things die. Yeah. Come on. I've been to a lot of services. I've been to tent revivals. That we go night after night after night. And guess what? The same people come up. Same time, same thing. And every time I see it, I'll be back there with my guitar. I'll be like, man, something must have not died. But I started that other thing to encourage you. God is not like us. He's not someone who sits in a room and looks at the time. He doesn't do this. He doesn't say, oh, it's 11:47. God lives in 11:46 and 11:45 and 12 and yesterday and the day before and 2 days later. You get what I'm saying? So Pastor was right when he said both. Let me tell you right now, God doesn't see you for where you are today. Right. He knows the last page. So some of you might be saying, man, I don't even know why God has had so much favor over me. Like, why? Why does he keep blessing me? Why am I so blessed? Why do these people treat me so well? Why? Because he sees where you're going. He sees where you're gonna be. And I believe today for somebody, for multiple people, is the beginning of where you're gonna be. You could go ahead and start playing that playlist. I knew for a fact that there's nothing I could say that could move you. I began with that. There is nothing that I could say. There's nothing that any man could do. I don't even want a band up here because there's nothing that a band can do. The only thing that can move you is the Holy Spirit. See, there's people in here. You could dim the lights. See, there's people in here who are holding on to that thing. You know what the thing is? You know what it is? As soon as I start speaking about it, you're like, oh man, he's talking about my thing. And you're holding on. Brother, sister, let go. Let go. That thing that you're holding on is like an anchor. It's stopping you from moving forward. Let go. And the way that woman poured her oil out on his feet. I don't want anyone to leave their seat. But let's do something different. You stay there. It's important. It's important to make, I believe that Jesus made a public declaration that day when he went to the cross. And I love public declarations, but I don't even want that. What I want today is like the secret place. I want you to have a mini little secret place in your seat today. I don't need affirmation. I don't need to see how many people. I don't need that. I know Pastor Rich doesn't need it. I know Pastor Mindy doesn't need it. We don't want it. We will see the fruit. You could raise that music a little bit. So we're just gonna sit. And I'm gonna pray for you. Jesus, right now, you're the only one who can move a heart, Jesus. You're the only one who could change a heart, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you change the palate of your people, Jesus. So what was good to them isn't good anymore. What tasted good, what felt good, doesn't feel good anymore. Lord, make us uncomfortable, Jesus. Change things. Change the way we do things, Father God. Lord, We need you. We honor you. We love you. And we give it up. Say, I give it up. Say, I give it up. Oh, hallelujah, church. We gave it up. Now we can move on. Don't let the devil tell you you didn't give it up. It's easy in here. It's easy when the girls are dressed modestly. It's easy when you're not around your friends. It's easy, but let me tell you, when you get out there, keep giving it up. You gave it up.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.